Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From New York City, the only city in America, it's the show that invented news. This is The Daily Show with your host, John Leguizamo.
Yo, 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 what's up, what's up? Welcome to The Daily Show. Leguizamo here in the house. It's my third night behind the desk, and I've been getting some great feedback so far. I mean, mostly from my mom. So I asked her what she thought of the show last night, and she was like, I'm sorry, pero mijo, I fell asleep after the Wheel of Fortune, but I'm sure you were great, mijo. And I was. But yeah, we've got a great show for you tonight. Oh, so let's get into the headlines. All right, let's kick things off with some sports. The NFL has announced that it will allow its players to put the number zero on their jerseys next season for the first time ever. Meanwhile, the Jets announced that they'll put zero on the scoreboard for the 40th season in a row. Hey! Hey! No, seriously, I think this is a great way for football players to celebrate the amount of brain cells they'll have left when they retire. I know, that's so f***ed up, but it's true. Okay, let's move on to some international news.
Overseas, a Dutch man is facing legal action for allegedly fathering at least 550 children. The 41-year-old is a sperm donor. He's accused, though, of lying about the number of kids he's fathered through sperm banks, violating agreements. Limits are placed on donors to protect children's health. It's unclear what legal ramifications he could face.
Holy shit. Come on. He donated enough sperm for 550 kids? God damn, dude. Say something for the shower, bruh. What? But in this guy's defense, when you're this cool, you have an obligation to procreate. I mean, who wanna get knocked up by this sperm? But still, though, this is gonna make for some awkward conversations. Mommy, what's my biological father like? Honey, all I know about him is he loved to jack off. Good night, honey. All right, let's move on to Wisconsin, because they're about to have an election for the state Supreme Court that's hugely important. And not just for there, but for the whole goddamn country. And it's a little complicated to explain why in a short time, but fortunately, I'm a Latino New Yorker, and I can talk very fast. All right. I know you're with me. I know you're with me. So let me break it down for you in my new segment, A New York Minute. Hit the clock. Okay, here's what's at stake. One, abortion. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, Wisconsin automatically went back to strict anti-abortion law from 1849. That is so long ago. You know what the number one movie was in 1849? Nothing. They weren't invented yet. If the liberal wins, she can abort that law. Too gerrymandering. Republicans have permanently stolen the state legislature. A liberal judge can fix that shit. It's more technical than that, but I don't have the f***ing time to explain it. Three, Donald Trump. That motherfucker. Shit. Just vote. Okay? And finally, let's move on to the major news about the arrest of Donald Trump, which is that Trump still has not been arrested. But don't worry, because there's still 50 other investigations going on into Trump, and one of them is about to feature a surprise witness.
In a major ruling, a federal judge has ordered former Vice President Mike Pence to testify before a grand jury about former President Trump. Pence has been ordered to give testimony in the special counsel investigation of Trump's attempts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. The judge ruled private exchanges between Trump and Pence are not off limits. Prosecutors are focused on conversations the two men had on January 6th and also in the days leading up to the Capitol attack.
The conversations before January 6th, when Donald Trump and Mike Pence were on the phone one-on-one, and Donald Trump apparently was berating him, calling him names, that sort of thing in this criminal investigation. He is going to have to share that.
Oh, come on, man. Don't make Pence say all the names that Trump called him. Yo, that could take weeks. These jury members have families to go home to. Although, as a viewer, it's something I'd like to see, actually. President Trump brought me into his office and called me a little mashed potato boy, a jerk off for Jesus, a silver-haired baby bitch. He called me the white Mitt Romney. I don't even know what that means. He said if I didn't overturn the election, he would, how would I put this? Make love to me in the hole where the poo-poo comes out. Now, for more on this story, we go live to the courthouse and Roy Wood Jr. Right. What do you think about Pence having to testify against Trump?
I think this is about to be the whitest trial of all time. You got Mike Pence, you got Donald Trump. This is about to be whiter than the Gwyneth Paltrow case. And that case got snow, skin, and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Roy, that's a good point. And it seems like Pence really doesn't want to testify.
Of course he doesn't. Trump supporters are gonna try to kill him again. And some of those supporters are women. So Mike Pence is double scared. According to his beliefs, if you get killed by a woman, you go to super hell. You go to super hell, and they don't even give you bathroom breaks in super hell.
Yeah, it's almost like an Amazon warehouse.
Mm-hmm. But there's a way out for Mike Pence. There's a way out for Donald Trump. But neither one of them are gonna like it. If Pence doesn't want to testify against Trump, then Trump and Pence gotta get married.
Wait.
Put a ring on it, Mike Pence.
What? Wait up. What are you talking about, married?
I'm talking about the law, John. You don't have to testify against your spouse. And I know what I'm talking about. I watch all the Law and Orders, even the bad spinoffs.
Okay, but still, how can they be married? They hate each other.
All married people hate each other. It's not like hating your spouse would be a big adjustment for Trump. Hell, Melania'd be so happy that Trump's getting married to Pence, she'd walk him down the aisle herself. Who presents this band for marriage? Me do, Melania, go out there, Donna. And also, let's just be real about this, John. What? Trump and Pence get married, they might just end up hitting it off. Maybe they fall in love. Maybe they adopt a child together. The kid grows up to be the whitest kid in history. A kid so white, he can gentrify a building just by touching it. I'm talking about child super white. I'm talking about a kid so white that he don't even have to go to Coachella. He just summoned Coachella around him. He just...
Right.
He summoned Coachella.
Come on. Focus, please, my brother, please.
I'm sorry, man. It's just all so white, all these white-ass cases. Look, man, I gotta go, dog. I need to do something black to rebalance myself. I'll holler at you, but hey, can somebody deny me a bank loan? How you doing, sir? Hey.
Well, thank you, Roy. Roy Wood Jr., everybody. Go away.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is the queen of the New York Underground, a rapper, songwriter, and actor, and her new EP is called I Love You, But This Is Goodbye. Please welcome Princess Nokia. Look at that reception. You're a multi-hyphenate, a singer, actor, producer, director, voice
Bullshitter.
Actor. Oh, that. But isn't the idea of being very successful to have to work less?
Yes. I mean, some would say working harder, not smarter.
Right.
I am a multi-hyphenate. I've done so many things. Musician, actress, comedian, director, songwriter.
And what
author.
Drives that? What drives all that?
Oh, creativity. You know, the need to want to express myself, taking... boredom, and you know they say idleness is the devil's playground.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to be in the devil's playground. I just want to have fun.
Yeah, and you do, and your work is so powerful. I mean, I'm so inspired by you.
Thank you.
And you chose your stage name Nokia because the telephone is so indestructible, and you're indestructible.
I would say so. It's a Finnish company. At the time, I was using Obama phones because, you know, we was just that poor.
Yeah.
So I couldn't call myself Princess Obama phone. And yeah. I just...
Not the same ring.
I was too young to have a Nokia. But I chose something with a futurist angle because I liked the idea of having something old and new. And, they, you know, Disney princesses, all their moms are dead and my mom's dead. So I figured, well, let me add a little dead humor to that as well.
I love the way you mix it all together. It's amazing. We're both street kids.
Yes, we are.
You know, I went to the Fresh Air Fund. I survived the New York City public school system. how do you use your streetness and your lens of the Latinidad to do your storytelling?
Oh, well, I was really fortunate to grow up in an extremely vivid cultural upbringing. You know, being Afro-Indigenous was what I was supposed to do on the weekends. When my girlfriends was playing double dutch and hanging rope, I was at powwows just like, why, you know, like, I loved my upbringing. Right. But it's funny because, you know, there's so many intersections of my childhood. And there's the public school, you know, being in Jefferson Park with my friends. And then there was the times where I didn't connect with my friends, where I didn't get to have sneakers or, you know, be wearing lip gloss, that I had to, you know, go to ceremonies or go to the UN to do a performance, something of the sort. But I think that, you know, I'm very straight. I'm very protective. You know, I was taught to fight with my words in my hands.
Oh, yeah.
And be vivacious and be protective. Yes. And I am protective of myself and my loved ones.
Yeah, no, that comes out in your work. I mean, I'm such a big fan of your work because, you know, I feel like I see myself in you, you know, and it revitalizes me as an older artist, seeing, like, the young Latinas that have, you know, such self-worth and strength and vivacity and not afraid of their power and strength. Yeah.
I was telling the crowd, is the camera here? I was telling John earlier that he's one of my biggest inspirations. It's him and Martin Lawrence that created my identity.
I feel like Martin Lawrence. We're about the same height. We're both short kings.
I'm there too.
Yeah.
like I watched Freak, Sexaholic, Spikorama, Ghetto Clown, you know, like Jesus Christ.
And they let you watch that inappropriate crap? Come on.
No, they allowed me to watch it. It was it was our household thing. It's we saw you and we saw ourselves.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. I mean, when I wrote my stuff, I wanted to write it for all the young Latino kids that weren't seeing themselves and that they felt invisible, and I wanted them to feel like I saw them. You know, that's why how I wrote it. Now, you got your new EP coming out, right?
It's already out.
Out.
That's okay. Everything is misinformed.
But this is about love, right? This is...
How many rumors have you heard about me?
But this is about love, though. It's the first time you're talking about love. You've never been this vulnerable before.
No.
Why now?
It was the time. I always speak from my heart. I always speak from a personal experience. You know, 1992 covers my life as a child growing up and all the intersections of my life from childhood to adult. You know, Girl Code Red is about my love for rock music. Mm. Everything is Beautiful is a neo-soul jazz album with R&B, Everything Sucks, kind of had like a ICP effect to it. It was a little bit more fun. In this, I stripped it down. I wanted to sing. I always say when I MC, I'm happy. And when I sing, I'm sad. Like when I got the blues, I sing. So I had the blues and I was going to get married in that dress and I didn't. And I like using, no, it's okay. It's okay. Like I'm a young woman and I said this to Billboard and The Insider. I said, everyone is so used to me being the rapper, the strong woman, the soup thrower, you know, the voice of a generation, but no one has ever heard me and I've never allowed myself to be that vulnerable. I don't talk about my personal life like online. So no one would know who I'm dating. No one knows who I'm talking about. It's no one I've ever posted publicly. So someone could have an idea and they completely have no idea what's going on. So I put all of these intricate things about a failed relationship, but the takeaway of the project is really that person was, that person allowed me to feel love. They allowed me to feel a little something.
Right.
You know, I hadn't dated in like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And like, I think that like, I just, you know, hooked up with my childhood sweetheart and we had a love tunnel and it was fabulous. And it was hot and saucy and sexy and then scary. And then we were gonna get married and it was gonna be amazing. And then I left because it didn't serve me.
Right.
It didn't serve my high purpose. And I spoke to God and God said, get your ass out there. And I said, okay. But I tell him, he's listened to the music. He loves the project. We're still good friends, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful.
I
want to go back to that soup thing. What happened? What happened in that soup thing?
I've never talked about it publicly. I'm so happy.
Oh, you're kidding?
I'm not kidding.
I don't know if you all know what happened. Well, she's going to tell you now.
I've never spoken about it publicly because public attention gives me nervous. And I was on the front of the metro or in the metro. And I was like, oh, my God, my name's like in the paper.
Right, because it went viral. That video went viral.
I still don't realize. I realize that I'm a person of interest. Like, for me, I'm just destiny.
Well, if you throw hot soup in somebody's face, you're going to be of interest to a lot of people.
This is what happened. This is from the horse's mouth. Before that man started saying slurs, a group of young men who were like on a basketball team, black and Latino brothers, and I remember thinking, wow, look at kids getting air, being outside, being healthy, playing sports. That's a beautiful thing. You look, my people, look at young men being gentlemen. Okay. And this man came onto the train and he bumped them purposely. And that was the first thing I seen. I seen an adult bump a child. And I thought that was very weird. And then when they got off, he drunkenly just said these N-words. And I got up. And I said, how dare you? And I just socked him in the eye. And he called me.
Wait, you punched him first?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't want to say that. I said it on Twitter once, but I didn't want to say that to publications in case he, like, tried to sue me. Yeah. But, you know, I was like, man.
You got to protect you.
Yeah.
You got some money now.
So that's actually what happened. There was a whole discourse before the soup. The soup is what happens very last. What I says, you're not about to talk about black people like that. Not in my face.
Right.
I would never, like, xenophobia and anti-blackness, that make my skin crawl. I don't like that.
And you can't stay quiet because if you stay quiet, then you're kind of guilty.
People stay quiet because people are crazy. You don't know what they're capable of. He could have punched me back. He could have slapped
true
me.
That, true
he
that.
Could have spit at me. And I have been punched back before standing up for myself. Mm. I got really lucky. Then he started hurling racial slurs at me. And when I said what I said to him very distinctly, you don't ever talk about people like that. Don't you ever fix your mouth to say something like that. A whole bunch of men came to my aid. And it was brothers and like people just, it was like the train of New York just came behind my back. And these two brothers, they looked at me and said, we got you, sis. I said, okay. And then everybody, like white, black, polka dot, red, was like, you can't talk like that. That's not okay.
Right,
white men going, dude, what's wrong with you? Are you sick?
And don't you love that? Don't you love
it
on everybody?
It was like,
when we're all united.
It was a rainbow
nation.
Love that. And it was so sick.
You're gonna make me cry. That kind of stuff makes me cry when we're all together.
It made me cry because we all collectively threw him off the train. It was you see the men?
Oh, man, that's
beautiful. They're throwing him. And I had just went to Panera Bread and got me a butternut squash soup. And that was my thing. I used to get me a butternut squash soup and go to Brooklyn and, you know, be a New Yorker. And I was like, well, shit, I'm sorry.
You can curse here. This is all right.
Oh, man. Well,
they've heard worse from me.
He done said racial slurs. He done got in my face. He done made a fool of himself. He about to get this soup, too. So I was like, you know what? I've already punched him. I've already done that. That's all off camera. I remember I went to get my bag because I was like, oh, my God, my bag. And then I was like, soup. without even thinking about it, it took 2 seconds. I swear to God, it was from 14th Street to the first stop of the L train. So you know that underground tunnel is like extra 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it felt like a long time, but it was just one train stop. And it was wild, and I stand behind that, you know? I was taught to always, if you are about something, be about something. Mm. And I would never strike my brother or sister unless they, you know, provoke me first. Right. But when it comes to defending blackness, Latinidad, being indigenous, anything, you know, that I am mixed
with. Anybody is vulnerable, yeah.
Absolutely. And we were just at a point in the time, society, like in society, where that rhetoric was just so, you know? And I caught that man in his face.
You got it like that. You got it. She's a poetess, a singer, sensitive, and she can knock you out. I mean, you're the perfect woman.
I'm pretty frail, but I would like to think that I can always, you know, if a friend is in need, I can help.
Well, I'm a friend in need. If you ever need me, I got your back. Love you. Thank you for coming. I love you, but This Is Goodbye is available now. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, starting May 8th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's our show for tonight.
But before we go, please consider supporting the Fresh Air Fund. They provide free outdoor summer experiences to children from New York City's underserved communities. And I was one of them. They took my brother, me, and my cousin, and it was life-changing. And if you can, I really appreciate if you donate to them at the link below.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future. New documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.